Hello and welcome to Josh Talks. I'm here with Nathan Best. Nathan, tell me about how you first started in football.
Let me see. I first started, would have been around P7. I started playing football for a first couple proper team. I never really played too much before that. It was always just primary school. And then P7 was the first properly got into it and took it serious.
So who were you playing for?
So my first team was Crony Colts, and I was there for a year before I moved on. The Lisburn Youth, I was there for a couple of years as well. It would have been my first proper teams growing up.
And obviously, I know you quite well. So at Lisburn Youth, I know that you did your ACL.
No, my first operation was I torn my ACL on my medial ligament, torn it off by a lump of bone. I was out for about 6 months of it, and then it wasn't until a couple of years later when my ACL properly gave out, and that was when I had my ACL done.
And then what was like your, obviously, I've done my ACL as well. So for me, what it was is playing football and I was shooting the ball and someone pushed me in the back and my leg got stuck on the ground and I tore my ACL. And then obviously it takes quite a while to get seen to. So I think I was 6 weeks waiting for an MRI. And then after the MRI, it was, I think, maybe another 6 months, 7 months after that to get the operation. And then it was a year of rehab for me. What about yourself?
My first operation was only 6 months took in total. That was including the rehab, and then my ACL. The first time I'd done anything to my knee was a tackle. Touched same similar to you. My studs got stuck on the ground. My leg twisted about 90 degrees more than it should have, and I felt a big snap. But my ACL actually tore just in a football match. Last 5 minutes of the game, went to shoot. No one near me. My left leg just gave out. I think, let me see, it must have been around 18 months in total to get back from just the ACL. So about 2 years in total out with knee operations at the start when I was young. I think my ACL was actually done. It was 13, it must have been. So it would have been my 13 whenever I first had mine done. And touch wood, nothing. I've had nothing since.
Yeah, just a couple of minor injuries. I know I
Yeah.
remember you said about snapping there. I remember when I did my ACL and honestly in my head it sounded like a gunshot went off.
Yeah.
I have never experienced pain like that before in my life. And then I remember the very next day. Actually, sorry, I'll go back a wee bit. I remember when I was playing, I was just like seven aside in a wee tournament. And I remember the fella pushed me, he stood over me and goes, "Get up and stop diving."
Yeah, well,
And that
mine, everyone played on. No one even knew I was down. You heard a big snap whenever it happened, but no one really knew what it was. And then it's been the last couple of minutes of the game. But I wasn't sure. I was told for months, a couple of months, trying to get sorted to find out what it was. I kept getting told I'd only twisted my knee. But my knee kept popping in and out for months until I actually went to, I can't remember which hospital it was, but the girl that was seeing me was like, "Did it feel like your knee slid off?" And I said, "Yeah, that's what exactly how I felt." And she's like, "Well, to be honest, I think it's your ACL because that's what I'm waiting to get done." And that was the only reason I ever took months before I found out what it was. Being told it was growing pains, the lad.
See, I was very lucky. I went to a hospital in Belfast and when I went to the hospital, I waited in A&E and I remember going to accident and emergency and I think I was there maybe. I remember I got the taxi down and I remember just sort of like, you know, like hobbling along into the hospital, signing myself in or whatever. And I remember just like throwing up just because it was that sore in the
Yeah.
toilet. And luckily there was a specialist on that day. So they sent me for the x-ray and they basically said that there was no damage to the bone. But then they referred me to a specialist. And I think that was the same day. And he literally had one look at it and he did the thing, you know, like where they put their hand on the shin and then they put their hand on the thigh and they move the
Yeah.
knee. He did that to me. And as soon as he said, he says, "You've done your ACL."
Yeah.
And I remember hearing that. And because my dad had done his ACL, I know how hard it was for him to get back into it. I was like, "Thought this is rubbish." Like I remember just feeling this like sinking feeling in my chest. Just knowing that it'd be out. And then even after that, I remember, you know, have going through like all the rehab or whatever, even post that, like trying to build my leg up. And I think the worst thing about doing your ACL is you miss out on so much. Like when your friends are kicking a ball about, you can't do it. I remember like one of the times it was, we went away with the youth, and when we were playing in the youth, they were all playing volleyball, and I thought, flip, I could do that, but sure, it's just standing still. And I remember it was on a beach, and my knee just slid out, and I felt like the bone hit the bone. I've never experienced pain like it, and that was just me. That was me done with sport till after the operation.
Yeah, well, I was somewhere. I never done anything really until after my operation, because I was so young. I didn't want to affect any of my growth plates and stuff. So
Yeah.
I had to really. That's I think that's what took them so long figuring out what I'd done, because I was really young whenever I got mine done. It's not really until you're older you get many ACL injuries. So that's what took them. So long, that's a nightmare trying to get it done, like.
I don't know if you remember this, but it's also come to my memory now. You were very, very young. I didn't know you at this stage. And I think Adam was playing for Coaching for Christ. And I think Davey was the manager. And I remember seeing you on the side of a pitch, and you were sort of helping Davey out. You were
Yeah, that
very, very
probably
young
would.
at this stage, but you were just watching because of your knee.
Yeah, that would have. Yeah, that probably was. I was helping out at that time. Yeah, David asked me to help coach, cause he knew I wasn't playing. No, didn't do it for too long now, but I was doing it while I was waiting on my operation. I was helping out.
Yeah, I can remember. I can remember you standing on the sidelines, and my dad said he's very, very good.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, it's wild injuries at that stage.
and
It's a
then
nightmare
so.
too when you're trying to get back, especially whenever I came back into football after it. The amount of wee niggly injuries I was picking up just because I hadn't been doing any football for so long.
So obviously,
Think at one stage I pulled both my hip fractures, one of my glutes, my hamstrings were constantly sore just trying to get back into it.
So obviously, your job will be you're a personal trainer. And for any people that's listening out there who have maybe had a similar injury or they have another injury, how would you recommend rehabbing that, before the operations? Like pre-op, what would you do to give yourself the best chance of recovery?
Really, all you can do, there isn't really much you can do before your pre-op. You just have to really rest, try and take it easy on it, and try and keep off your feet in terms of running. You could do a lot of strength work, no, so the likes of squats, single leg squats, but try and build up the quads, hamstrings. The goal is to try and really build up your legs to try and give you that more support. So I still would do a lot of single leg stuff, a lot of squatting, and it's all to protect both my knees so that I can prevent an injury again. But again, before the operation, it's so hard. You have to really take it easy, try and just keep active, but nothing that's going to affect your knees. So even the it's one of the best things I've done was swimming. Really, really low impact. You know what, as well, spin bike. Loads of spin classes I done, because again, low impact, nothing on your knee, but you're getting a lot of cardio in, working out a bit of a sweat. That's all I can really recommend.
Yeah, I remember when I first started going to physio. From what I remember, I started going to physio after the op, maybe a few weeks actually before the operation took place. And the advice that was given to me was very much like what you're saying, doing a lot of squats, building up a lot of, doing more strength-based exercises. And then after the operation, again, just going through, what do you call it, like the program of work that they said. Yeah, so it was, again, all strength work. And it wasn't until after a few months where we started to move in very slow runs, just changing directions, being able to sidestep. That was all very, very slow process, and at times very, very difficult, because you sort of just want to be better, but you realize how weak your leg actually is after the operation. When you start to go back to the basics, like turning, moving side to side, you realize there's such a big weakness there. And like I remember just going back to the gym for the very first time, and I think I was doing hamstring curls, and obviously because of my operation, they took away part of the hamstring. And I remember I think it was such a lightweight, I think it's like 10 kg maybe, and my whole hamstring just spasming. Just because I couldn't take it.
It was somewhere my hamstring was really That's what they took out for me as well. That was a sore. See, the next day, the day I got the operation, waking up, the sore pain I felt was in my hamstring, and I moved my leg, and I felt the pain literally from my hip, or the back of my hamstring and my glute, the whole way down and to the top of my calf, and that was exactly where they took out, and I've never felt pain like it.
Yeah, I was very similar. It was even the next day after, or the same day, even on the operation, like you try and walk about on it, just so your hamstring doesn't curl, or what they said was shrink, just because it tends to go into a ball if you don't stretch it out properly, and then making you walk up steps. That's the source I've ever been. Just feeling your foot hit the ground for the first time, which was sensible.
Oh, sure. I had the same as me. I had only a few hours after my operation, I had to have my first physio appointment.
Yeah, I can remember it.
I've never done so much on the wobble board either.
Yeah,
A lot of
that's
single
true.
leg stability stuff to try and work on, even like the legs of jumping, the wobble board, and it's all so that whenever I went back to sport, whenever I do land, and maybe I land on a bit of uneven ground, my knee will be used to it and I'll be able to adjust. It's
I think
all
so.
injury prevention stuff.
Yeah, I think injury prevention is so important, because when you think about the ACL, like at the minute, probably the most famous example is Joe Gomez. That's someone who came back from an ACL injury and then re-injured again. It's incredibly unlucky. But that's very common, that once you do one knee, it's very likely to do the same one or the other, just because there's a weakness there. So if we're moving on then, talk to me about, so then after that, you went down to, I think it was the Glens.
I had my ACL done. Or no, sorry, I had my first knee operation, came back from it, went to the Glens. It was at the Glens I'd done my ACL. And
Yeah.
then I was there for 2, 3 years in total. And then when I came back from the ACL, we maybe a squad of 30, 35 players, something like that. It was a massive squad for so young. And I came back and I really wanted to play. And didn't want to wait. Didn't want to try and work my way into the team because I wanted to get playing. It was the best thing for me. And I knew I needed to get loads of minutes. So I went to a team in West Belfast called St Olphert Plunkett. I was there for a while. And we ended up winning the National League. Then went the cruise. Went to Crusaders for a year and a half, 2 years before my Crusaders manager, he left. The whole team pretty much left, and I think there's 7 or 8 of us ended up going back to Glentoran. And I was there for another 3 years, so I've probably spent about 5, 6 years at the Glens over my career in youth football. So I have.
So obviously Glentoran is when it started to get pretty serious, because you realise that when you start playing for Irish League teams and playing for teams around that level, like Irish League Championship, and even playing for their youth teams or the reserve squad, whatever it may be, that's when you find that there's a lot of players who are at the same sort of level that you're at.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So what way
You
does
get to
that
this
work
age
then?
where everyone has to work hard as well. Like I know there's people I play with are really, really good and don't work hard, and it's so hard for them to stay in teams because everyone at that level knows how hard it is to improve and to move on. So everyone tries their best, knocks their pan in, and that's really what the most important thing. Definitely working hard.
Yeah, so thinking about then, Glentoran, when they're recruiting, or was there ever a case of where Glentoran were asking you to come down and train, or did you have to turn up and trial?
No, when I was at Lisburn Youth, let me see. The first time I went down to the Glens, I had actually been asked the guest in the Foyle Cup for them over the summer. And that was the first time I really went down. Did a week with the Glens in the Foyle Cup, went back to Lisburn Youth for a season. And then after that, they'd asked me back again. I ended up just signing. And it was the same as the cruise. The cruise at had watched me play before, and I knew the manager, and he'd asked me down. So football's all about really who you know. Lucky enough, I've known a few good managers as well, so looked after me.
Yeah, I suppose the next big stage of your life then was County Antrim. Before we actually talk about County Antrim, how did that come about? Going for trials, what did that look like?
So, in juniors. I didn't make the team. I was an 18 man squad, and I was in the four reserve ones, so I never made it. See him again the next year playing in Europe, and made it the last trial, and then the final year. So it would have been my premiers of the year I got in. I used it two years before, and I ended up going to maybe four or five trials. And this time I went the very first week, very first trial, got through, and I never got an email text back for weeks and weeks, and I wasn't sure what the crack was. And it wasn't until the last trial that I've been asked to go back, and my manager's lucky enough to get in. So I only had two trials the year I got in.
Yeah.
The first week and the very last week.
So see, when you're actually thinking about the trials, obviously I went in, I've lost my brother, trying to get into the Milk Cup squad, and from what I noticed is what they tend to do is, so they maybe invite 22 people down at the time of the trial.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's just two teams against each other. And see, when you were actually turned up for the first trial, did you recognise all the faces that were there because you previously played against them?
Yeah, the majority had all played against, to be honest, and he most of them. For definite. I don't knew them all. Football's small, like, so especially over here, you get to know most people at your own age group.
So, especially just when you're playing at that level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
there's ones you don't know, but for definite, the majority of the ones that, you know, would be in and around in them squads, you would definitely know.
So was it, I think that this wasn't the same for you then, because remember at Adam's trial, I think Adam went to the fourth and he got cut on the very last one. But the way they sort of did it was they took half the team or whatever players that they thought looked good into one dressing room, and then the other half they brought into the other dressing room, and it was sort of just a case of it will be in contact with yous, and then the ones, oh, we're very sorry, you didn't make it.
Yeah. I was somewhere. The only way they don't is in the last trial. If you don't get in, they'll speak to you individually. But if you're not into the last trial, they'll split you into two change rooms and say you're either in or not.
So, see, when you were actually trialing for County Antrim, who was the manager at the time?
A man called Stefan was the juniors, and Andy Hunter was the premier.
So,
with Neil Lewis and Tim Mouncey.
So, see, when you were talking about giving in for your last year of seniors, that was your last chance to make the Milk Cup team, and thinking about that, and then you're going through the trial process, were you ever asking those coaches for feedback when you were trialing, or did they tell you what they were looking for? Or
I did the very first year. I didn't get in the juniors. I'd say the coach, what did I do wrong? I can't even remember what I would have done wrong. I didn't really have a great final trial, so it was, I knew I wasn't going to get in my own fault. But yeah, but the next couple of years, lucky enough, the year I got in, so it was all right. It scored plenty of goals in the trials and stuff. But yeah, definitely, yeah. No, it's worth asking because you never know what they're looking for sometimes.
Yeah, so on your last trial, when you find out that you've made it, or, you know, what's going through, is that a phone call or is that a face-to-face? Or
is, if you're getting in, did you say, sorry?
Yeah, if you're getting in.
Yeah, so they tell you on the day of the final trial. So they'll call everyone out one-to-one that didn't get in. And then if there's 18 left in the change room, we'll come in and they'll say, well done, lads, you have made the squad. So I think the day, I was must have been an hour after the final trial, waiting to hear if it actually got in or not by the time they spoke to everyone one-to-one.
So the next question that I have is, do you think with the Milk Cup squads that there's already maybe players that's in that team it's already predetermined, you know, that they don't need the trial?
Yes, I know. I'm sure from the football, everyone sort of knows who's who. So there's players that will, you know, they'll have certain counties will have their eye on because they know they're a good player just from playing from clubs, and a lot of them are internationals as well. So yeah, definitely. I suppose, you know, if you know them and they're good, they're worth taking a shot at. Even if they don't do well in the trial, they can say, well, look, I know he's good or he's not. And then there'll obviously be a lot of them, well, they'll just base off of the trial. And they're fine if they're not sure, but players will bring them the more and more trials as well, helps to make sure.
So we've got to, you find out that you're playing for County Antrim now, which is a massive honour in itself, because not many people get to play for the county, especially you're playing for the senior squad of County Antrim. You know, it's probably the one that's hardest to make it in, just because it's more physical, players are bigger. And, you know, at your age group, I'm sure there was players in your team you had started playing reserve team football, if not higher.
Yeah. I was in the edge of a reserve team. A couple of me first team appearances at that stage. So that would have been under 17. I would have been 16, yeah. Under 17s. So I was on the edge of the reserves and stuff, and ones that maybe actually made a couple of first team appearances at that stage, yeah.
So then what way does that look then? So after you've got the call, you find out you're in County Antrim, does it just start training? How many nights a week are you training, or what's that sort of process?
So you would train 3 times a week. Twice a week in a match maybe.
And that's including club as well?
No, that's just for the counties, and then it's up to you if you want to go to your own club training. It's done over the summer. So I think the last trial, I only had a couple of weeks of season left. And then you're straight in the county straight. So I never really got any sort of break. So you're flat out. And then obviously clubs go back to pre-season. I've done quite a few pre-season sessions with the first team that year as well. So I was maybe training twice a week with them, 3 times a week with County Antrim. Flat out.
And then in this training that you're doing with County Antrim, is it based on trying to get your fitness up so you can compete in matches? Or is it trying to get you to jail together? Because obviously you're all playing for different teams.
Yeah, well, at the start, it's all about getting the fitness up, because we're 5 games in 5 days. So you need to really be fit to make sure there's no injuries go on. You know, you can play the majority of the games. So at the start, and then it's about play plenty of matches and going up to it. Plenty of wee small like summer tournaments. It's all just to try and, yeah, as you say, gel together the first couple of games in pre-season. We never done great. And then it's just because people don't know how each other play sometimes. So, but we done well. Lucky enough, everyone was good lads. There was no bother in the team, so everyone got on with each other.
Okay, so talk to me about your very first game playing for County Antrim.
Do you mean in the warm up the thing or the tournament or that in the actual tournament?
The actual tournament.
I think the first game was Newcastle at Ballymena. And then I didn't start that game. Then the second game was Club America. Played that game. County Tyrone was next. I can't remember who the fourth team was. It was an American school. It was American soccer club. And then the last one was a Brazilian team, which was in the final of the cup we got into.
Yeah, I remember the Brazilian team. I think the rumor was going at the stage that there was one of the fellas, I think he called him like Fabricio Oya, and he was meant to have like a buyout of $8 million, and he was 16.
Yeah, some of them clubs are ridiculous. The Club America team was full of, I think I seen one of the boys we played against. Sold for $2-3 million not only a few months ago.
Oh, really?
And then the Newcastle United captain is actually Matty Longstaff, the one that he's playing the majority of games now for Newcastle first team.
So it's obviously such a high standard. I think there's loads of stories about the Milk Cup over the years. Like, I think at one stage, Ferrari, who's playing for PSG, came over to play.
Yeah, Busquets as well, Beckham, Giggs. There's loads of players that have came through.
So it is a massive honour to play in the county, especially to play against that sort of opposition. And then they also do well in the competition as well. You know, you're just getting results. And
yeah, we were unlucky. We didn't get the top four. So it's not actually, you're not in groups. Whenever you play, you're in, it's just 3 random fixtures before you split up into the certain levels of the tournament. So we played... Beat Newcastle. We beat, who was it next? Oh, we got beat by Club America 1-0. And then we beat County Tyrone as well. and we were drawn on points with Newcastle, and Newcastle got through because they had beat us in goal difference. So we had beat Newcastle 3-1 the first day, and I think there was they played a team from China, and it was they beat them like 11-1, and we had scored plenty of goals in the three games as well, beating County Tyrone like 4-0, 5-1, something like that. And they beat us by 2 goals in goal difference, Newcastle. And that was enough to send them through, even though we'd already beat them.
Yeah. So when you were playing for County Antrim, I know that I recognize some of the names now that are currently playing. You know, they're playing at quite a good standard.
Yes.
So who would they be?
Let me think. You've quite a few actually. You've the main ones would be probably Paul O'Neill playing at the Glens, Aaron Donnelly at Cliftonville, and who else? Even Kofi Bamer as well, actually, at
Yeah,
Bottom Yeah.
Ballerina.
He's doing well. It would be the main three we're playing week in, week out. So you would.
So he's had quite a high standard of player there.
Yep, definitely.
So then after County Antrim, you then move on and you're starting to play for reserve football.
Yeah, so I had a couple of years at reserves, and then the Glens got new management, got new money. I didn't really have much of a chance once the money came in to play first team, so I moved on after reserves and played a season in the championship there to
Yeah.
get plenty of first team experience, and then obviously COVID's happened now, so all football's off.
So I don't think people realize that, you know, when you're playing reserve football and then you move to the championship is a lot higher standard
Oh yeah.
than reserve
It's just the
football.
difference from going from you. It's still sort of youth football when you're at reserves, and then whenever it comes to going in the men's football, it's all about results. It's so much different. It's all about getting points on the board. It doesn't really matter about how you play as long as you get a win. It's obviously bigger crowds. You're getting paid a bit more. Well, getting paid more than I was for definite. I wasn't getting paid at the Glens, though. But it's so much more important getting wins at men's football.
Yeah, I think that's one thing I noticed. Obviously, I've been to quite a few of your matches, and I've been to most of the Adams. So, like, if you take Ballymena reserves, you know, Ballymena got through to, I think it was some final with Linfield reserves.
Yeah.
Or no, sorry, I'm wrong. Even that, I'm talking about under 18s football here. They got into some final, and you can see that, you know, it's young men that you're playing against. And then you move on to reserve football. And in reserve football, you start to see that everyone's starting to get a wee bit bigger, get a wee bit stronger. Then you also see the occasional, you know, first teamer who's maybe coming back from injury dropping down to play reserve games. But then when you actually go
Definitely,
to
yeah.
the championship, you're playing with everyone's a man, everyone's very, very physical. It's a more
Yeah.
physical game. There's harder tackles, it's faster, there's more pressing involved.
It's a completely different game. You go to men's football for definite because you've ones that have played Irish League for years. You've big clubs like in the championship, you have like Newry, Ballymallard, who else helped me? Oh, flip. Dundella. I'm trying to think who won the league. Portadown. Big sides that have all odds as well. They've
Lawrence
all
just
done
went up.
well. Yeah. So Portadown promoted this year. Odds were just down from the odds and Newry were just down from the Irish League. So there's big clubs, players that have played at the top level over here. So it's so hard to, it's a completely different level than playing ones your own age at reserves.
Well, obviously, you know, like I remember going to watch Adam, and I think it was a cup game. That Adam was playing, I think it was, what's the one below the championship? That's first division, is it?
Championship two.
Championship two. I think he was playing championship two for Moyola, and Moyola was drawn, they got Cliftonville in the cup.
Yeah.
And I remember just seeing the standard of Cliftonville when they came down. It was, you know, very, very quick passing. They didn't really lose possession. You know, I think sometimes when people think about the Irish League, they think the team's just, you know, hoof it, just kick it up the pitch. It's not as technical. Is what they're maybe seeing on TV. But then when you're actually in those games and you're watching it live, you see that these teams press a whole lot. They very rarely give away the ball. You know, they're very good
Yeah.
sides.
Football over here is really intense. Everyone closes down. No one gives you time. It's very physical. Whereas when you go across the water, a lot of teams you'll play against, they'll let you play football. They'll give you time on the ball. So, like, I went over a couple of times with Glens. Yes, I went a lot with Belfast Met, the football academy. And the majority, I don't think there was many teams beat us, just simply for the fact we pressed them, get in their face. No one likes that. So, you know, over here is very intense.
Yeah, you definitely can notice it. So, what about Belfast Met then? You mentioned about going across the water with Belfast Met. Did you play any teams over there that were in good standard?
Played Fleetwood, Blackpool, Port Vale. There might be another one, I can't remember who it was. And then with Glens, Burnley, Rochdale, Wigan. And then I've just played other clubs, you know, in England, just in other tournaments.
When you're playing against these clubs, and obviously they've got the name behind them, and then you're playing them and getting results, are you thinking, I can actually play at this level?
Yeah, there's some clubs you'll play over there, and I think we beat Rochdale 7-0.
Yeah.
And it was, well, tortured them. And their manager actually came in to us and said, like, the difference between us and them is they live there, so they're a lot cheaper to keep. Don't have to
Yeah.
pay them much of a wage. Don't have to pay their accommodation, food. Whereas if we go over there, they have to pay all that. So it'd be so much better than what they have over there for them to take a chance at you.
Yeah.
But I would like to think it would be some sort played at some sort of decent level if I was to live over there. Some
Yeah,
sort of
well,
academy.
from what I've seen, obviously watching the championship, you know, there's a lot of quality there in the championship. You can see that, you know, the same team that Lauren had is now going up and they're challenging for the league. Obviously,
Yeah.
there's been new signings and stuff, but it's still it's a hard league to get out of.
Yeah, it is a hard. There's some big clubs in it. There always is, and it's very tough to get into. Definitely.
So
You
what?
always have some good clubs that come down from the Irish League into it, and then there's maybe always four or five teams in the championship that could play in that league.
So what about then when you're actually playing in the championship and the standard has improved? You know, what's your training like?
What's it, sorry?
What's your training like in the championship?
It's similar to what you would train. So obviously everyone's still part time, so you train 2 nights a week, and then you're matching the Saturday. But everyone's still expected to do a lot of the work. So a lot of the fitness work, you'll be expected to do at home. And to be honest, most of the boys would have done that. So no, like I would train. Obviously, I train twice a week for football, but pretty much every day I'll do some sort of training for
Yeah.
definite to try and get that fit.
So then you're playing the championship at the minute, and obviously you're playing at a very high standard. But see, like you're talking about doing training at home. What's that like? Are you just focusing on strength training, or are you working on explosive movements? You know, what are you doing?
Well, both, well, the likes of the day was more working on the engine, so it was a lot of running. So I've done 6 mile. I'm only in half an hour just before I started this. Whereas yesterday was a lot of strength work, trying to build up my legs, upper body. Then you'll get, like, maybe tomorrow I fancy going down the pitches and I'll do a bit of ball work, a bit of sprints. So it honestly just depends. Depends. I'll try and change it up most days. I'll work on all different parts of my game, whether that be the football side of it, strength, my fitness, just in terms of running. Yeah, it just depends.
One thing I would say is that I've noticed about your game is that when you're playing, obviously you're very, very quick. You're playing on the wing, but you can play on either side and you're both footed.
Yeah, well, I never used to be great with my left foot when I was younger. It wasn't until I actually done my ACL when I had it done, I concentrated a lot on working with both feet. Just through rehab, and I ended up it's sort of stood by me. So don't mind playing the other wing. Can cross the ball. I score more goals with my left foot now than I would my right, funny enough.
And that's just from cutting
just
in.
practicing cutting in and shooting on it. Or, and then obviously when I go on to the other side on the left wing, cutting in on the strong foot, my right foot anyway, so it doesn't really matter what side I play on.
So what advice would you give to any youngsters that are listening? So when you're talking about being both footed, so obviously like I wouldn't play that much football, but one thing I've noticed is say when I'm running and I go to hit a ball, you know, it feels very unnatural to use my right foot. You know, how do you get past that, you know, where it just feels natural?
Practice most days, go out, do keepy ups, go to the pitches. That's all I did whenever I was younger. Growing up, every day I was out doing some sort of football work. Not even necessarily strength work, nothing like that. It was just all practicing, having the ball at my feet. That's all you can really do for your weak foot is just practice, practice, practice. And then it'll soon become more and more natural the more you use it.
Then you mentioned about how you were playing Championship, and then obviously I think you went down to Championship 2, was it? Or was it First Division?
Yeah, one below Championship 2 there.
And then after that, COVID hit.
Yeah, so COVID hit, and then this summer I signed to, it's Amateur Premier, so it's like fourth division over here. So I was training with a couple, I was meant to go and do a couple of Championship clubs there, and I've been asked for two or three in the Championship 2 as well. Mm-hmm. But no one had started up. My mate, he asked me down to Derriaghy to see, just for a bit of training. So I went down, went for a couple of weeks while I was waiting on the other clubs starting back up. And to be honest, I loved it. Never went down to any of the other clubs. The team I'm at, it's there's quite a few have played Irish League, quite a few played Championship as well. So good side. Like we've played quite a few teams higher than us in pre-season. Likes of Bangor, Distillery. Who else will beat them? Beat PSNI, league above us. Portadown beat us 2-0. We've played quite a few teams that would be a higher level than us. And we've really matched them. So I love where I'm at, to be honest. And getting plenty of goals, plenty of assists. So I'm can't wait for the league to actually start now. But I know it's a couple of leagues below what I was playing. But definitely very, very good side. Plenty of people watch the league as well.
Yeah. I suppose then the question I would have for you then is, do you have any goals in the future of eventually playing in the Irish League or further?
Yeah, for definite. I would love to I'd love to push on and eventually get into the Irish League. I like to hope in a few years' time I'll be up around and around it. So for definite. So I was close enough when I was at the Glens until they got the money. I was on the edge of breaking through, so I like to think now I'd be a far better player than I was a couple of years ago. So yeah, I would definitely think I would like to hope so. Hopefully would be the aim is to get the Irish League in a few years' time.
I think from what I've noticed just from watching football and watching the Irish League is, you know, when you're coming through at say 16, 17 and you're starting to play reserve football, but then because there's money involved or whatever, then actually making appearances and keeping your place in the Irish League is extremely difficult when you're a young man, just because of how physical it is, how experienced and how results based it is. You know, if you're not cutting it at that level, maybe it's because of your age and then experience, you know, you won't be there the next week. That's it.
Yeah, well, it was even like that in the Championship too.
Yeah, of course, yeah. It
took me a while to break in the first couple of months, but just because they seen me as young, didn't matter what I did. I think up until Christmas time, I was the top goal scorer. And still, I'd be in and out just based on you didn't know if I was too young or not to play. So, it's so heartbreaking when you're young, especially when there's people that have played at that level for so many years or experienced, and I totally get it for that, because I know I'd probably be the same if I was a manager. So yeah, it's really heartbreaking.
But then I suppose the other good thing is when you are given that chance to play in the Irish League as a young player when you're 17, 18 and you put in good performances, you know, teams across the water start to look at that.
Oh yeah,
because your age, I think that wasn't too long ago. I think it was Matthew Shevlin. You know, there was rumours of Celtic looking at him, and there's been countless other boys who have played in the Irish League as a young player and have went across on trials, or they went further afield just because they've had a few good games or a good season playing at that level.
Yeah, you've had a few of the last couple of years. You've the likes of Paul Smith, Gavin White, Mark Sykes is another one.
Joe
Bobby
Cooper.
Burns as well. There's plenty of went across the last few years.
Yeah. Like I was saying this to my brother at the minute, like the Irish League's definitely improving. You know, the standard is going way up.
Yeah, well, definitely.
100%. And I think money plays a part in that, because if you look at the likes of Lauren started, I think Lauren is full time. No club's full time now. I'm not entirely sure. The Crews
yeah,
have went
full time.
Linfield's full time.
Yeah, Glenn Linfield. I don't know if Linfield some players are. But the Glens and the Crews are both full time with Lauren, yeah.
And you can start
a
to
lot
see
of the players they'll bring in as well are from England as well now, what they've started to do. So yeah, it'll definitely improve the standard.
I think there has been some weird signings in there, actually. I think at your time in the Glens, Nacho Novo signed.
Yeah.
I
he played quite a few reserve
the
games whenever I was there as well.
Yeah, and what was he like when you were playing with him in the reserve games?
But he's good. You could tell he's played at a far higher level. But I don't think he had much interest. He was towards the end of his career. Never really run, never done much. But yeah, his touch is amazing. You could tell he's played at a far higher level than what we were.
Yeah. It's getting a lot more exciting. So obviously, Nathan, I know you quite well, and I know that your faith is a massive part of you playing football, and it's given you a whole lot of opportunities. So it's given you the opportunity to speak, whether it be in podcasts, it's given you the opportunity to speak to the kids about your faith and your belief. And, you know, I remember asking you to come down to the Kids Week and share your testimony. And I think it was very, very powerful. And I'm just wondering, would you like to share that here now?
Yeah, well, in terms of, if I'm talking about the football side of it, you know, I've always been a Christian. Grew up in a Christian home. My faith has always been a massive part of my life, for definite. In terms of football, I've been giving my testimony 3 or 4 times through it. So I would like to see football as a platform to share my faith. You know, I try to let people know, any team I've played on will all know it. I've been a Christian my whole life. Like, for example, I was told whenever I tore my ACL, I'd never actually played football again. I was told I was lucky if I was able to play in the street. I was that young. So, and yet, I prayed every day. And lucky enough, thanks to God, I've been, not lucky, so thanks to God, I've been able to play. No bother, no injuries, just obviously wee niggles that everyone gets. But I've been really lucky that my ACL's had no effect on me. And it's actually given me a reason to share my testimony. The fact that I can say, look, like, I've been told I've never played football because of God. I have. So, yeah, faith is a massive part of what I've, my whole life.
Yeah, it definitely is. It definitely is powerful. And I've heard you speak a number of times to the kids, and it's given you that platform. And something I think that's amazing is, you know, that because you're a Christian and you have those beliefs, that, you know, it's going to give you the strength to carry on, as well as being extremely fortunate to play football at a high standard, a good standard, from doctors saying, you know what, you might never be able to play again. And yet, yeah, you've played for Glentoran reserves, you're pushing for the first team, you then went and played the championship, you got goals in the championship. And I would say, you know, if COVID hadn't hit, you'd probably have a lot more goals and a lot more assists by this stage than the start of the season.
Yeah, like, I think so. It's scoring plenty there just before COVID there, so especially during pre-season as well. I think it was on 10 or 11 goals just over pre-season. So, yeah, I would like to think definitely get loads of goals. But faith five, football on my faith is brilliant because, you know, I get asked loads of questions, stupid questions sometimes, but it shows that people have an interest in what I'm doing. In terms of a faith, I get questions all the time. a lot of just telling them, trying to answer their questions as best as can. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and then I suppose what advice would you give to a young person who has the same beliefs? You know, they're a Christian themselves and they're growing up in football. You know, what advice would you give them? Because sometimes football can be a very harsh place. You know, you have all the changing room banter. You know, sometimes that can be taken the wrong way, or you know, football's very cutthroat, especially when you're playing at a high standard. You know, it's sometimes it doesn't work out for you at a club.
Yeah, definitely. No, it's definitely hard, but to be honest, you just have to be brave, stay true to your faith, you know, try not to give in. I know it's hard for definite, you know, boys are maybe slagging you and stuff, but you have to just keep doing what you're doing, and you'll find a lot of more in your respect the fact that you do stay true to your beliefs and don't give in. So yeah, definitely just keep working hard, stay true. That's all I can really suggest.
I suppose my last question for you is this. So obviously you play left and right wing, and I'm sure there's loads of young kids or young men out there who are playing left and right wing, and they want to play in the Championship or they want to play in the Irish League. What do you think they need to have to be able to make it to that next standard? You know, what do they need to work on to play left wing or right wing for an Irish League team?
You know, definitely work on, well, pace is a massive part of playing on the wing, you know, it gives you that option to run in behind. So definitely work on your speed and acceleration is important. Your first yard is vital when taking a man on. But make sure just practice your 1v1s, getting that man, add in a few wee tricks if you can. Work on crossing, work on your finishing especially, because nothing will get you make you look better than goals. So yeah, just work on 1v1s and speed and finishing.
So then just as a follow-up to that, you said about how, you know, having a good fast 1 yard, you know, working on an explosive 1 yard. How do you go about working on that as a young man?
So obviously the best thing you can actually do is to practice it is do it. So do wee 5 yard sprints, 10 yards, but really work on being explosive as hard as you can, really push that first yard. That will be the first thing. Then after that, it's all about maybe stuff in the gym. So like your lunges, squatting, that will all help pushing that weight. Like so working with resistance bands, strengthen up your glutes, hamstrings, quads, all, and even especially your calves too. It all helps your first yard because you'll need that to get away from your man. And that might give you that yard enough time to hit that shot or get that cross in the box. So, yeah, just working on all explosive stuff is most important. Plenty of plyometrics, so like jumping onto boxes. Yeah, definitely.
And I know I said that was my last question, but just as a follow-up, so when you're playing in these matches and you're playing left and right wing and you're up against a right back or left back, you know, how do you make the decision, I'm going to take him on or I'm going to pass the ball? You know, it's two very different decisions, but how do you come up with that?
Well, it all depends. If I can get turned, and maybe have two or three defenders, maybe 3, 4 yards in front of me, and I can get it build up a wee bit of speed, then I'll know I've got a bit of pace here, a bit of room to run into, and go and take him on. If he's up my back, or he's pretty close to me, and I know, right, it's going to be a lot harder to beat him, and then I'll pass it. I'll try and maybe get a 1-2. I'll set it, make a run in behind. So it really just depends on how close or far your man is. If you think you can turn him, if he is close, then definitely do that. But it's knowing you want to definitely at least get a few yards on him before you take him on, because it's so much harder to defend someone that's running at you with a bit of speed than it is someone that's running at you from a standing start.
Yeah, that all makes sense. Just like to thank you for first coming along here and then also
Yeah, no
sharing
worries.
a wee bit about your faith. But I'll let you go. Thank you very much. Nathan Best. All
No worries at all, Josh. Thank you for
right,
having
see
me.
you later, bud. Thank you.
Gentlemen, bye.